Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hello, boys and girls, and welcome to Atletico Mints, introduced by me, Steve McLaren, and my bestest ever friend, Casper the Snake. Casper's got the horn. Put it down, Casper. Oh, you cheeky bugger. Well, we've had a lovely week staying at home together, watching Poirot and the original John Nettles Midsummer Murders. I find them a bit scary, but Casper can't get enough, can you, my sweetheart? We did go out one afternoon, face painting party, you know. What's that, Casper? The face painting party was shit. Well, that's not very nice, is it? No Poirot for you tonight. You couldn't give a fuck. What's got into you, Casper? You don't know? Well, I think I do. Honestly. Oh, darling Casper, you need fun and laughter. Let's go and watch some cartoons, then have a drink in Wetherspoons. We could drive in me clown car. We could buy a mouse in a pet store. Cave its head in with house brick. Use its feet as a toothpick. Does that sound like a plan, Casper? So we've got a great show for you today. We've got Mick McCarthy. Oh, you think Mick McCarthy's a twat, do you, Casper? That's news to me. I would like to be spending as much time as I can with Casper, and I hope you'll all spend some quality time with the people that you love and that live under the same roof. Oh, Mr. Casper, you need fun and laughter. Have a listen to Martin from Homes Under the Hammer. He's got a face you could park in. Oh, my yellow joy pipe, it's gonna be all right. We can buy some sweeties and show each other our willies.
Yeah, that was Casper and Steve introducing us.
All right, Andy.
Hello, welcome to this episode. This is the first one that we're trying to do remotely from our homes, because obviously we're all in isolation.
Yeah.
So that we should explain that from the beginning. And you've chosen to open such an episode, which has, let's just say, technical obstacles that we need to overcome. You've started that episode with an incredibly complicated piece of music,
yeah,
and song, and you had to go off and get your honker at one point as well, and then come back. So
where do you keep your honker?
My honker's under my bed, mate.
I keep it at the bottom of the stairs because I use it. I use it to tell the kids the dinner's ready.
Oh, yours is like a public honker. Mine's more of a security honker.
What, you're going to honk a burglar?
Puts them on the back foot, doesn't it?
I suppose it would choose them to exercise caution.
Gives you that extra couple of seconds where you can sort of pin them down and sit on their face.
Yeah, and put your hands where they should be.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you know, Andy, but Phil Jones is making one of his movies for Netflix.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Nice.
But it's good, innit? And I've managed to get hold of the first sort of edit of his trailer, and
right,
I thought
okay.
The people might like to have a listen, so I'll play it, shall
yeah.
I?
Yeah.
Charlie, will you? Philip Anthony Jones, defender and occasional right-back for Manchester United. But away from the pitch, a defender of justice, truth and the vulnerable. A lion's heart beats inside his milky skin, his flattened, featureless face. Head is chock-a-block full of brilliant ideas and tactical innovations. An ordinary hero for extraordinary times. Wearing a mask of streaky bacon for anonymity, Phil Jones patrols the streets of Salford, searching out crime and protecting the innocent. Around his waist, a Series 2 utility belt, holding a B&M multi-tool, two Croatian protein bars, a ball of twine and a black pudding. It's early morning and Phil Jones is at the window of his 18th century, 18th storey penthouse, surveying the mean streets of Salford below him. Philip Jones is eating lucky stars with carnation. He is ready for anything that forces of evil throw at him. Phil Jones utilises his super sight to home in on a situation developing just outside an apartment block in Media City, Salford. Cut to exterior apartment block. Phil Jones approaches the scene at medium speed, utilising his super waddle. A small crowd are gathered, looking up at balcony of fourth floor apartment where a puppy is whining for help and threatening to jump. Cut to onlooker. Thank God Phil Jones is here. He will have the guile and above all the ideas to save the puppy. I can't think of anyone more suited to rise to this challenge. Using his brilliant footballing mind, Phil Jones assesses the situation in style of an A1 robot. Smoke bellowing inside flat, 98 probability at fire. Puppy trapped on balcony, 80% chance Labrador but could be part poodle. Chance of fire brigade arriving before puppy leaps, 50%. Phil realises that this is on him and only him can save day. Phil Jones takes a bite from black pudding and farts to power up a mega waddle. This propels him at medium fast speed to a nearby play area and utilising his multi-tool, he removes a basketball net from its mounting. Cut to Phil Jones tying off the open end of the basketball net with the twine from his Series 2 utility belt. The plan is clear. Phil will encourage Puppy to jump and catch it in his net. Phil Jones stands beneath the balcony and takes one super moment to focus his incredible mind. He then removes his bacon mask and fires super breaths through the crispy rashers up towards Puppy. The puppy cannot resist. This is no ordinary bacon. This is Phil Jones' home-cured, smoked, twice-fried bacon. Fuck me, that smells good. If he weren't out saving that puppy, I'd grab a slice for myself, shouts a bystander. Come to Phil, shouts Phil. Come on, little fella, you can do it. The puppy is hesitant, but finally it can no longer resist the lure of Phil's twice-fried mask rashes. It leaps from balcony. Phil positions net directly at the end of his trajectory. The crowd is silent. The puppy hurtles downward. Philip Jones flexes his incredible muscles. The puppy misses the net by a good couple of feet. Bugger. Bugger. Oh, bugger. It's not a bad trailer, is it, Andy?
It's good. I look forward to seeing that. I'm even looking forward to that more than I am of Series 2 of Sunderland Until I Die, 1st of April.
Oh, they should get it out sooner, man. Oh,
shouldn't
no.
They?
We'll not. We'll still be. We'll, it'll be more hell we'll, back then, won't it?
We'll still be here. What I will say, TV tips and guides and all that, BBC 4 from Monday night is the repeat of the O.J. Simpson documentary, the 5-part.
Nice.
Made in America. That's really good.
Good tip,
that's
Andy.
That's on over 3 nights, and that's about it.
Well, I'd recommend the Tiger Thing that's just come on Netflix. It's terrific, Andy.
Tiger Thing? What's
the
that?
The thing about all the tiger zookeepers in America. It's terrific. It's a crime thing, but it's terrific.
All right. What's it called?
I think Tiger Farm or Tiger People or something like that.
Just put Tiger in, you'll find it.
Have you been out at all, Andy?
You know what? I've not been out of the house for about 4 days now.
Right.
Last thing I went out and did, I did a bit of panic buying. I've been panic buying jigsaws, Bob.
All right, you're not a bad panic buy.
You got a plan ahead, haven't you? So, I mean, I was in Argos the other day. I've got an Argos nearby. And I was picking one up, a 1,000-piece Toy Story one.
Oh, nice.
I thought the kids might want to join in, you know, help out and all that sort of thing. So I did a click and collect, took loads of precautions, went in with a mask on and gloves and everything. Picked up my Toy Story jigsaw, right? And I turned round and this fucking fella, he didn't cough, but he kind of spat as he spoke right next to us.
Shit.
Yeah. He just says, seen you!
Oh, it's Jeremy.
Jeremy fucking Corbyn and Jeremy August, Corbyn. Jeez, he says, seeing you, laddie, trying to tackle a potential long-term period of isolation, are you? With a more traditional, slow-paced form of entertainment? Well, yeah, I thought, you know, consume a bit of time, and I think jigsaws are good for mindfulness, I said to him.
Well said, Andy, well said.
He says, done any other jigsaws lately, have you? And I haven't, because it just occurred to me I'd done them when I was a kid, and I thought it might be a nice thing to get back into. I says, no, not for a few years, Jeremy, actually, no. I lied, it's been about 35 years, really. He went, thought not, and 1,000 pieces? You'll be sweeping them all off the table in frustration in less than 20 minutes, amateur!
Ooh.
I says, well, I hope not, you know, I want to dedicate a bit of time to it and enjoy the isolation. He went, ask me my best jigsaw, go on, ask me.
Here he goes.
Oh, I says, what's your best jigsaw, Jeremy? 35,000 pieces.
Wow.
Bosh. Fuck, exactly. I says, wow, yeah. How long did it take you to do that? He says, 8 hours, a 3 hour and a 5 hour session, aided only by Ovaltine and a large bag of cinder toffee. Hats off to him. That's
He's
really
doing well,
impressive.
Hasn't he?
35,000 pieces in 8 hours. I can't beat that. I'll never beat that if I do jigsaws till the day I die. But I just says, you know, really impressive. What was it? What was it of? What was the picture? He says, no picture, just red. Red for Labour. Fucking hell.
He did well to get it done then.
Yeah. So, you know, there's no beating that. And he just went off and then he had a pop with a woman who was buying an ironing board across the other side of the shop.
The perfect number of pieces for a jigsaw, Andrew.
Six.
I'm a bit of a jigsaw person, and the perfect amount is 636. You'll often see boxes and they've got 636 pieces, and
really?
It's because it's a really satisfactory number. So check it out, see what you think.
What kind of shape? Did you get a special shape? Just rectangular?
You're rectangular, yeah. Honestly, what? I'm not having you on. Have a look for them. It's a really satisfactory amount. I had to go out, Andy, because... Well, I'm not going to tell you. I had to go. I had to go to the doctors, and it's amazing. You haven't been to the doctors recently?
I haven't been to the doctors. No.
It's amazing, right? You get to your surgery, and there's not a nurse, but one of the receptionists is outside the surgery. Well, this is in with my surgery. Got the mask on and all that, and like an iPad, and there's a sign up saying you've got to queue 6 feet from the next person. She comes around, checks your appointment on her iPad, and like if you're fit enough, you have to queue. You're not allowed inside if all sorts of rules, you know.
Right.
She checks, but this is the best thing. You get your temperature checked with a gun.
Whoa.
You know, like a thing that she points at your forehead.
What, they shoot a thermometer into your mouth?
So
from
that
distance.
Then eventually, it took forever. And then they shout your name, like literally shout your name out the window. And then the lady escorts you all the way, like around the cars, away from the queue. You go inside, and I'm there to see my doctor, Dr. Graham. Outside the room, there's like a washing station, like with not the squirt. You have to wash your hands in this room.
Then soap and everything, yeah.
Yeah, escorted out of there. Then you have to put on little disposable gloves.
Right.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then I get into the room, and this is what it's like. And it's not Dr. Graham, it's the new doctor. I hadn't seen him before. And it's just whoever's free you get in to see, yeah?
Yeah, you just gotta get in and out, yeah.
So I told him what my problem was, which I'm not sharing with you, Andy.
All right.
And just because of the nature of my problem, I had to strip down, get on the examination table, you know?
Yeah.
And he starts to listen to like my lungs with his stethoscope, right? And then suddenly I feel the scope being wrapped really tightly around my neck. I look up and I'm choking, and he's got a large box of disposable gloves in his free hand. I just about managed to make out he had 500 gloves, yeah? He says, right, bro, spread your legs and start feeding these disposable gloves into yourself individually and at great speed. South African, Andy. I said, well, what can I do? I'm naked. I've got this thing round my neck, yeah?
Yeah.
So I start removing the gloves from the box, you know, doing as I was told, like. He says, faster and more rhythmically, you fit prick. So I start to speed up. Now put this tiny clown hat on and start chanting the words, Gary Monk's Apricot Army. So just as I start saying it, you know, Gary Monk's Apricot Army, The door opens, in comes Dr. Graham. Oh. Yeah, the bloke jumps up and dives out of the window, yeah? I say, oh, thank God you came in, Dr. Graham. Do you really think he would have made me feed all 500 gloves inside me? And Dr. Graham's Scottish, you know, and he says, okay, listen, if he can feed 500 gloves, then I can feed 500 more. Only joking, laddie. I reckon he would have. Gangbangers, you've got to fucking love them. So it turned out that was a South African story.
South African incident, yeah. They tend to come when you're not expecting them. Were you treated after that by Dr. Graham?
By Dr. Graham, he's wonderful, Dr. Graham, yeah.
Good.
Absolutely
I'm glad
wonderful.
About that. I've got some questions here for you.
Go on,
the
then.
Kids. Number one, as a millionaire, are you worried about a global financial crisis will force you to sell your collection of antique bottles of toilet duck?
I am not a millionaire and I don't have any antique bottles of toilet duck.
Very nicely deflected there. Question two, are you currently forcing your servants to keep away from you and be isolated in the compound made from chicken wire and old front doors that you've constructed for them?
Do you know, what was he called? Who's the British Rod Stewart? Joe Longthorne? Do you know?
Rod Stewart.
Yeah, he had a neighbour dispute, a boundary dispute, which he lost. So what he did was, is he bought, I don't know where you're getting from, he bought a whole load, like, you know, 300 yards of front doors.
Front doors.
And he erected them as a fence between him and his neighbour, you know, because it was such an eyesore.
Yeah.
So I'm not a bad tactic.
There's no finer sight than a fence made out of front doors, I think. Wooden ones, not UPVC. That can fuck off. Again, well deflected. Third question. On what day do you predict you will kill and eat your servant's pet kestrel?
Exactly 11 weeks from today.
11 weeks from today.
I shall be tucking into kestrel breast, yeah.
I hope you enjoy it.
Oh, hold on, Andy. Mick McCarthy's just coming. Mick!
Oh! Aye.
Come here, Mick. What are you up to, Mick?
I've just been to the supermarket. The shelves are bastard empty.
Oh, that's a shame, Mick. What were you after?
Stuff. Bastard stuff. But half of it was gone due to bastards like you stockpiling.
I am being stockpiling, Mick. I just get me normal delivery, you know, on every week on a Friday.
A delivery? What kind of a son of a bastard is that? You need to touch your bastard meat before you buy it. You need to smell your bastard veg. Check how much bastard niacin is in your cereals.
Are you a big fan of niacin then, Mick?
Yeah, bastard am. It's an essential human nutrient. Every part of your bastard body needs it to function. It can actually repair your DNA. Think about that, you pair of fat bastards.
What do you eat, Mick, to get your niacin?
Wheat a bastard, Bix. You get 5 milligram of niacin per serving and a cheeky milligram of riboflavin.
And what does riboflavin do, Mick?
It converts carbohydrates into tri-bastard phosphates. What's not to like about that process?
Nothing, Mick. Look, Mick, there's a pair of Weetabix on top of the mini-fridge there if you'd like to take them.
Yes, I busted would. Thank you. One last thing.
What's that, Mick?
You're still a pair of bastards.
All right, see you, Mick. Say cereal, Andy.
Bye, Mick.
See you, Mick.
Jesus Christ.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Support comes from ServiceNow, the AI platform for business transformation. You've heard the hype around AI. The truth is, AI is only as powerful as the platform it's built into. ServiceNow is the platform that puts AI to work for people across your business, removing friction and frustration for your employees. supercharging productivity for your developers, providing intelligent tools for your service agents to make customers happier. All built into a single platform you can use right now. That's why the world works with ServiceNow. Visit servicenow.com/AI for people to learn more.
Whoa, shit, Andy, look who it is. It's Nigel Pearson.
Oh, Nigel Pearson. Has he come into the studio?
Yeah. Come on in, Nigel.
Nigel, hiya. What a nice surprise. What do you want?
What I want is a fight. A good, honest British fight. No weapons, just punches, headlocks and kicking. Do you want to fight me, fat boy?
No, I don't want to fight you, Nigel, no.
Is that because you know it's a fight that you will lose?
But no, I just don't want to fight you.
So are you saying that you think you could beat me in a fight? Because if you are, you're sadly misguided. I'm an excellent British fighter.
Look, Nigel, I fully accept that you could beat me in a fight, and I do not want to have a fight with you, all right?
What about you, Grandad? Have your ancient bones got any fight left in them? Well, I might have one good scrap left in me before I pop me clogs. Would you like that last fight to be with me, or do you want to win your last fight? Because if you fight me, it is a fight you will lose. No, I don't want a fight with you, Nigel, thank you. Maybe you don't have a choice. Maybe I want to fight you and beat you in a fight. I need you to admit to me that if we had a fight, I would win that fight. Now, are you talking a British fight? Like, no biting, no knives, no pulling hair, spitting? Yes, I only participate in British fights. Well, I'm happy to confirm that I believe you would beat me in a British fight. Right, I want both of you to sign this document here, confirming that I have offered you both a fight and that you have both declined that offer because you accept I would win that fight. Yeah, I'll do it, Andy, will you?
Yeah, fine, no problem, yeah.
There you go, Nigel, thank you. Sensible lads, live long and prosper. See you around sometime, maybe in the playground or the park when I'm mid-fight. Yeah, see you, Nigel.
Thanks, Nigel. Ta-da.
Blimey.
Live long and prosper was a nice touch, I think.
Listen, I've got a quiz, Andrew. I'm going to hit you with quickly. Yeah.
Oh, I thought I was doing the quiz because I've got one as well.
Well, we could do them both, Andy. See how we get on.
Oh, God, no. Jesus. People don't want that.
Well, we've been on our little tour and I changed the format of the quizzes to calorific value, yeah?
You did, yeah.
And I enjoyed it, so I'm doing it again. What do you think of that?
Go for it.
It's called Honk... Pap, topic, peanuts! Pap, boing, Mars. Oh, yeah! Twack, honk, boost. Give me just a little more time. And it is, Andy, is the calorific value of three of the UK's greatest chocolate bars. The boost, the Mars, and the topic. Mm-hmm. Highest calorie to lowest or vice versa.
Are they all full size? Are they all of the same size, gram wise?
Standard bar.
Doesn't help me very much that. What was it? Boost, Topic, and Mars.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say the. Oh, you know what? Topic. I think nuts are quite calorific.
You reckon?
Yeah, I think they might be. And then I don't know what the fuck's in a boost. I don't know. Anyone knows what's in a boost? I'm gonna go for Topic, Mars. Boost.
Oh, you are completely wrong, Andrew. Not one in the
completely,
right position.
Just a shambles.
Yeah, boost.
Really.
Boost 250 kg. Yeah. Topic 236 kg, and the Mars 228.
What's in a boost then? Lard.
Well, I think it's probably worse. I mean, I think it's a kind of ground up nut thing, peanut buttery sort of centre.
So
Andrew.
I was on the right track with the calorific peanut.
Yeah.
Thing.
No, all credit to you. What do you want? A little fun watering can as a present?
Just a little honk from the honker, please. Thank you.
Now, listen, do you put your chocolate bars in the fridge?
No. Sometimes I'll have a Mars bar from the fridge on a hot day, but usually no.
So that seems to me that we implicit that there is usually a Mars bar in the fridge for you to have when there's a hot day.
No, I'll tell you what I do. I'll let you in on a secret. What I do is sometimes I'll put one in the freezer for 10 minutes.
You dirty, dirty bugger.
What's wrong with that?
Naughty
it's an
boy.
Emergency, isn't it?
Emergency. Naughty boy, strange boy. Have you got something in your fridge that I do this that I technically know shouldn't be in my fridge, but my habit is to keep it in the fridge, so I persevere with it?
Where do you stand on ketchup being in the fridge? Do you have ketchup where you live?
Do I have it?
Yeah, like the Heinz ketchup.
Yeah, I have the Heinz ketchup, I don't keep it in the fridge, Andy, should I?
There's a massive debate about this, whether you should or you shouldn't.
Really?
People say you shouldn't, but on the label it says keep refrigerated.
Oh.
So officially you should. But I never used to when I was a kid. But I don't know
whether I want me ketchup warm. You know, cold, sorry.
Yeah, exactly. It's just gonna cool down the food, isn't it?
What about crisps? Do you put them in the fridge? If you do, you probably
ketchup
don't
on
do
crisps.
Crisps.
No, why the fuck would you put crisps in the fridge?
Well, try it, Andy, because it turns out I've tried it and it somehow, can't put my finger on it, it makes them more refreshing.
What kind of crisps are we talking about here?
Walkers, you know, crisps.
Just standard Walkers?
Standard crisps. I won't eat those artisan ones, they give me gut ache.
What's your favourite flavour?
Of crisp.
Of Walkers.
Of Walkers. Do you know, you can occasionally get a tomato ketchup, Andrew, and it's beautiful. It's like an oil painting.
Is it beautiful from the fridge?
Of course it is, yeah. Which ties in with the ketchup.
Maybe that answers our question. Speaking of the kitchen and the fridge, have you got anything more to add about the fridge?
Well, I did ask you originally if there's anything you just by force of habit you put in the fridge, but you know you shouldn't. And I do it. I keep potatoes in the fridge and I keep me ground coffee in the fridge. And I know you're not meant to, but that's just what I do, man.
Potatoes I do, yeah, and general vegetables. Yeah, I never leave vegetables out at room temperature because why would you? That's a nice coffee you've got there, Bob.
Thank you.
That's something
hey, do
to
you
think
know,
about,
I've
isn't
got
it?
Two fridges. If you'd like to call me Bobby Two Fridges, you can.
Fucking hell, have you?
Yeah.
And are they both in your kitchen, or have you got one in like a utility room?
No, next to each other, built in a cupboard.
Fridge A and Fridge B.
Yeah, and beneath both of them is Freezer A and Freezer B.
Have you got specific names for them? A and B, or just left and right, or
if I was saying to the wife, I would say, can you go? They're in the freezer, you know, the one where the cat pissed on the door. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's good to differentiate, I suppose. Hey, I've got a new feature. We want to try it because it's kitchen related.
Go on then.
It's called Inside Andy's Lifestyle.
Okay.
And I've got a little song to start off with. Let's all get inside Andy's lifestyle. And I'm going to ask you a question about my lifestyle. I want you to guess which the answer is. It's
go
kind
on.
Of quizzish, isn't it?
I quite like it, yeah.
Which calendar, Robert, have I got on my kitchen wall at the moment? Is it Northeast Beaches? Beaches of the Northeast? Is it Working Horses? Or is it David Bowie?
I would think it's Northeast Beaches.
It's Working Horses.
Working Horses. Oh, it's again, you dirty horses. Boy, you naughty boy.
There you are.
You like the big horses,
It cost £1. My son chose it. It's Working Horses.
Why do you need a calendar?
Why don't you need a calendar? It's traditional, isn't it?
Oh, I'll tell you why you don't need a calendar. Because like your mobile phone tells you what date it is.
Yeah, but you need to like write stuff down when you're going to do things and that sometimes, don't you? For everyone to refer to, for the family to look at.
Yeah.
A planner, almost.
Oh, so
that's why.
Oh, look, kid, we're not having dippers again till Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that kind of thing, yeah.
And the blue drinks coming a week on Sunday.
Yeah, when the man comes round.
I've got some questions from the wife, Andrew.
Go on, then.
Andrew, in Sunderland, do you still curtsy to posh people? You know, like people who've got a job or have got their own set of suitcases. Andrew.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
Because, I mean, you've got to show respect, haven't you? They might give you a job at some point, so, yeah.
Thank you. Andrew, is it true that over 30% of the paving slabs in Sunderland are only kept in place due to the build-up of hardened dog dirt in the cracks?
I've not examined it. I've not investigated that personally.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, I can ask the council.
Hey, take a look.
I might get on my hands and knees and have a look later on, yeah.
Andrew,
is that it?
Is it true that there's a bloke in Sunderland who has trained a monkey to piss down chimneys to clean them out? Is that true? It is, isn't it?
I don't know. If that is true, he hasn't come round here yet. So, but I imagine he's working his way around. It's not something you can do quickly.
All right, Bob. Me and the wife are staying at home, like, you know, on account of the foreign bug. Nothing new in this house, really, because the wife don't get out much due to a fluid leak from her leg and the whistling sound her arms make when she's out and about and gets angry, like, you know, and starts flapping them around, you know. She don't want me in the TV room at the moment, so I spend a lot of time in the hallway, like, you know, waiting for her to shout out something she needs. And a good thing about being in the hallway, like, is that I can watch the TCVT monitor, you know. The camera is pointed directly across the road, so I can have a good stare and keep an eye on details such as the colour of the cars passing by, you know. Oh, I think there's one coming now. Gold, yellow, Nissan, I reckon. Could be Mitsubishi. Right, that was grey. Quite a long car, you know. Maybe scored a superb, I'm not sure. Dark red, could be a Renault, you know. Might play that. Oh, stop! It stopped outside the house. I can actually go and have a good stare at it, you know.
Oh, Peter, you fucking dozy half-witted fucking moron! Get in here now!
I thought you wanted me to stay out of the room, love, you know, because of the foreign germs.
Just get in here, you fucking dozy dying.
Hello, darling. A bit ripe in here, love. Would you like me to open the window?
Ah, and let the fucking foreign germ in. No chance. I know you're a public fucking health expert all of a sudden.
No, love, sorry, love. So what was it that I could get for you?
Nothing. Just sit down. I want a fucking word with you.
Have I done something wrong, love?
Just fucking sit down, you graveyard creeper.
Okay, love.
Peter, we need to consider the possibility of one of us kicking the bucket because of this fucking jam.
I don't even like to think about anything happening to you, me darling. Shall I just fetch you a nice big towel I've scrambled?
Just fucking listen, will you? I've asked Wilf Vickers, the solicitor, to pop round so we can both make our fucking wills. That will be him now. Go and answer the door, you lazy prick.
Come in, Mr. Vickers. That's right. Come through the front room where you'll find my wife.
Oh, hello, Mr. Wilf Vickers. Thank you so much for coming. Would you like a cup of tea and a nice eggy fucking biscuit?
No, thank you. Hey, the air in here is rather thick and heavy. Do you mind if I open a window?
What an excellent idea, Will Vickers. Open the window, Peter, you slack fucker.
Your blouse appears to have popped open, Mrs. Beardsley. Maybe you could fix that.
Oh, I didn't realise. How fucking embarrassing is that? Please accept my sincerely fucking apologies.
Right, so, have you discussed who you'd like to leave your estate to?
No.
Yes, we fucking have. If Peter dies first, then everything he owns goes to me. If I die first, then everything of mine goes to that bonny lad with the beard off SAS who dares wins on Channel 4 and 4. Hank Middleton is his name, but you'd better check that. Give it a quick fucking fact check.
So Peter would get nothing?
He can live in the house till he pops it. I'd have a small weekly allowance, you know, £100 or more, should more than fucking cover it. Oh,
thanks, love. That's very thoughtful, like.
You're fucking welcome, Peter.
Right, so what happens to the house on Peter's death?
I would like it to be sold, like, and the proceeds used to build a big fuck-off sculpture outside the Newcastle United ground.
Oh, love, what, a sculpture of me?
No, a big fucking chicken egg with my head sticking out the top.
Right, it sounds very nice, love.
Well, it all seems simple enough. I'll get the wills drawn up and send them to you for your signature. Oh, your button has popped open again there, Mrs. Beardsley.
Oh, my fucking bad, Wilf. I'm afraid my fronties are a bit swollen due to worrying about the foreign fucking germ.
Right, I'll let myself out, I think, then. Cheerio!
Well, that's all nice and sorted and proper, isn't it, love? Thank you very much for that. Would you like me to, grow a beard like Hank Middleton?
No, I wouldn't. You'd look even more like a fucking hobbit. Now fuck off out the room. I'm watching Border Force New Zealand and it's a fucking beauty.
Okay, love. I'll go and check me monitors for cars. Red, maybe a Citroen Berlingo, could be a Pergo Rascal. Blue, a small BMW, a diesel, maybe a 3 Series. Nice big white Transit. Probably pest control or the drains, Doctor. See you, Bob. I'm going to concentrate on this. See you, Bob.
So that was nice of Peter to send that in, wasn't it? So he's isolating with his wife.
And he's managed to put some sound effects on there as well.
Yeah, he done good, stuff. Didn't he?
That's about it then. We'll be back with another one soon, hopefully. Bye, everyone.
Yeah, see you, everyone. Stay safe.
Support comes from ServiceNow, the AI platform for business transformation. You've heard the hype around AI. The truth is, AI is only as powerful as the platform it's built into. ServiceNow is the platform that puts AI to work for people across your business, removing friction and frustration for your employees, supercharging productivity for your developers, providing intelligent tools for your service agents to make customers happier. All built into a single platform you can use right now. That's why the world works with ServiceNow. Visit servicenow.com/AI for people to learn more.